Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Keeping It Cool, a climate innovation podcast. Our goal with the podcast is to share stories of people working in the climate sector, be it at their own startups, at nonprofits, or operators at big companies, and see how they're driving impact to mitigate the climate crisis. We know that it takes all sorts of people coming from all different sides to effectively reduce carbon emissions. And I think the work of our guests today really highlights the importance of different stakeholders when it comes to the climate crisis. So today on the podcast, we have Ayana Bodhi. She is the Manager of Employee Engagement at Project Drawdown, where she leads initiatives to empower corporate employees to integrate climate action into their roles. So today we're really going to discuss how every job is a climate job, and no matter what you do, you can have an impact on mitigating the climate crisis. Ayana develops resources, media, and engagement strategies that help non-sustainability employees turn climate concern into tangible action. With expertise in communications, research, and design, Ayana focuses on embedding climate justice and equity into corporate sustainability efforts. Prior to joining Project Drawdown, Ayana worked in policy and natural climate solutions at a land trust, where she engaged policymakers and stakeholders to advance forest conservation and climate policy at both state and federal levels. She also served as a fellow at Mighty Earth, where she conducted research on the benefits of agroforestry to support advocacy efforts and collaborated with global industry representatives to promote sustainable supply chains. Throughout her career, Ayana has worked with several environmental nonprofits, managing mentorship programs, events, and digital engagement. Ayana holds a Master of Public Administration in Environmental Science and Policy from Columbia University and a Bachelor of Science in Ecology and Geology from the College of William and Mary. I also just want to briefly plug Project Drawdown if you've never heard of them. They're a nonprofit organization dedicated to researching and promoting a set of climate solutions aimed at reaching a drawdown, which is the point in time when greenhouse gas levels in the atmosphere stop rising and begin to decline, effectively reversing global warming. So they have a lot of resources that you can use with a lot of different solutions to try to reach this point. They focus on actionable solutions. They have a research-based approach, so they have many researchers that they employ to research and come up with some of these solutions. And they really focus on communication and impact. And I think all of that is going to come through in my conversation with Ayana today. So I'm really excited to have her on the show. And without further ado, let's get into it. Hey, Ayana, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So first off, can you tell me a bit about your background? I know I just said all of those things about you, but in your own words, how did you get involved in climate?
Yeah, I guess just kind of going way back, I've always been interested in nature or the environment more broadly. I grew up a lot like camping and hiking with my family. My grandmother also lived with us, and I feel like she was just very like in tune with nature and like new plants and like just, yeah, she was just very like in touch with the natural world. And that was very inspiring for me to witness. And then when I went to college, I really wanted to be an environmental scientist. I feel like when I was in college, the only like two paths you could really take were in environmental science or environmental policy. And those were like the big buckets. And yeah, I majored in ecology because I really thought I wanted to be a scientist. But then I spent a summer doing research where I got to track birds through the forest for like 3 months in a 95 degree hot and humid weather in Southern Virginia. And I hated it.
Yeah, that sounds like not the most fun time.
Yeah, it was rough. It was fun, but yeah, I just kind of realized, oh, wow, being a scientist is actually not that glamorous as I thought it would be.
It's a lot of hard work.
It's a lot of hard work. You're outside, and when you're in the lab, you're kind of just in a lab with no sunlight. So that was hard too. And like I mentioned earlier, kind of the only paths were science and policy. So I tried my hand at science and then I thought I would try my hand at policy. So I interned on the Hill, which was super interesting. And I eventually went to grad school for environmental science and policy. And I think through that is where I actually really got exposed to like climate itself as like its own discipline, kind of separate from like the broader environmental sustainability bucket. And I was really interested in climate policy, especially at the federal level here in the US. And so, yeah, that's how I got into it. And I've worked for various different environmental and climate nonprofits. And Yeah, it's just been really interesting to see how the climate world has really, I think, transformed and evolved even in like the past 5 years.
Yeah, there's definitely been a lot of change even in the past few months, too.
Totally, yeah.
So, can you tell me a little bit about Project Drawdown, where you are now, and what the nonprofit focuses on?
Yeah, so Project Drawdown, our mission is super simple. It's to stop climate change as quickly, safely, and equitably as possible. And we do that kind of through three different like pillars of work. We focus on the science, the stakeholders, and the storytelling. And I think we're probably most well known for the science piece of it. Some people might be familiar with the book Drawdown, which came out, I believe, in 2017, which is almost 10 years ago now, which is crazy. But essentially, it was kind of one of the first books that did really well about climate change and about climate solutions specifically. And so it kind of just cataloged 100 solutions to the climate crisis. And it was like this very beautiful coffee table book, very approachable, very accessible. And I think that book really like kind of put our organization on the map. And the science is still very foundational to our organization. So we have a team of scientists who are all much smarter than I will ever be, who are kind of different experts in different parts of the climate world. So we have ecologists, data scientists, climate scientists, et cetera, people who are expert in building science, all different parts of kind of the climate solutions world. And we just do a lot of work to essentially keep the data updated on solutions and still put out information that is very scientifically sound on climate solutions. Obviously, just knowing what the solutions are isn't exactly enough to actually bring about them into the world. So we also do a lot of work to engage different stakeholders on the solutions and get them to actually use the solutions that are on our platforms. We mostly focus on the private sector, which is kind of the piece that I work on. So we engage funders, philanthropists, and investors, as well as the business community on climate solutions and trying to help these different stakeholders prioritize solutions in the best way that they can and use the most effective solutions that are out there. And I'm obviously happy to talk a lot more about that since that's kind of the work that I do. But the last pillar of our work that I'll mention is our storytelling work. We're very focused on, again, climate solutions. So we really try to work with media to kind of switch the narrative away from doom and gloom to be much more optimistic and forward-looking and focused on solutions and kind of helping people envision this, climate safe future that we can have. And we also do a lot of great work to uplift historically underrepresented and historically marginalized voices in the climate movement. So we do a lot of different things at Project Drawdown, and I think that we're a small and mighty team.
Yeah, for sure. One thing I believe that book that you mentioned is one of the most foundational texts when it comes to nature-based solutions, which is interesting because I feel like that's something that you don't often read about. There's a lot of like technology-driven solutions, but I like that you all have the scientist perspective on a lot of these things, and a lot of them are nature-based. So I kind of want to zoom in on your role specifically. So you mentioned that you specifically work with a lot of different stakeholders, which I think is really interesting because that kind of goes to the more impact side of Project Drawdown, like how you're actually making these changes in the world, which is super important. So I'm just curious, from your line of work, which different industry or philanthropy sectors do you kind of work with the most?
Yeah, I would say there's a lot of different like sectors and industries that we work with. I think that we're probably most interested in working with sectors and industries that we think will have the biggest impact on climate. So one example of that is the food and agriculture sector. So that's becoming a really big focus for Project Drawdown, just knowing that I'm probably gonna get this statistic wrong, but I think every sector in, I think at least the US, emissions are going down, and the food and ag sector is the only one where emissions are rising. So clearly something is not going right there. And so this is a really big focus of Project Drawdown. I think the food, ag, and land use sector make up like estimated between like 20 and 30% of all like global greenhouse gas emissions, which is pretty crazy when you think about it. I think most people usually think it's energy that's like the number one driver, but food and ag and land use make up a huge chunk of our global greenhouse gas emissions. So in terms of sector, food and ag is definitely one that we're very focused on as an organization, just kind of understanding the impact that they have on global emissions. Kind of double clicking into like the private sector side of things where I work, I think we go where there's interest. So I think there's a lot of climate passion coming from the tech sector specifically. I'm not quite sure why that is. My guess is that a lot of big tech companies have pretty ambitious climate goals compared to the rest of the private sector. Like, you know, the big companies like Google, Microsoft, obviously they're not perfect, but they do tend to put in a lot of effort to climate action, at least historically. I don't know how much we can say about that moving forward. So we work with tech quite often. And then in my role, I'm specifically engaging employees within these companies. So I work with non-sustainability employees at companies to help them kind of bring climate into their jobs. And again, I'm seeing a lot of interest and passion from tech employees. So I work with a lot of people who might have titles like product designer, UX designer, product managers, software engineers. I see a lot of interest from that space.
Yeah, that's super interesting. I wonder if some of the tech perspective, so for context, I used to work in tech as well, is from a lot of people in that space being younger, and maybe also in terms of tech, there's not as wide-ranging climate repercussions. I don't know if that's completely true with a lot of the data centers that tech uses, but compared to something like real estate, where it would actually take a lot of work to decarbonize their real estate portfolio, for tech, it might be very little because they just have a few offices and not that many other resources to decarbonize. But definitely interesting. And I like that you work with non-sustainability-oriented professionals at these workplaces. It kind of shows that there's work to be done no matter what your day job is. Kind of zooming in on that too, can you share an example of how you have worked with employees to use Project Drawdown's resources successfully at their workplaces and what that kind of looked like?
Yeah, so there's a few resources that we have at Project Drawdown that are like very focused on engaging employees on climate. We kind of use this phrase, every job is a climate job, just to kind of hammer home this idea that you do not have to have sustainability in your title to work on sustainability in the workplace and in your career and your profession. So one of our biggest resources that we have are called Job Function Action Guides. Doesn't really roll off the tongue super well, but they are essentially these online action guides for people in really common corporate professions. So professions like marketing, HR, product design, product management, etc. These guides essentially help people in these roles to connect climate to their job. So there's a bunch of recommended actions that you can take if you're in one of these roles to take climate action. They include a bunch of resources, links to other organizations that are working in relevant spaces, as well as some like next steps on kind of how to get started in terms of integrating sustainability into your job. And I think ultimately, in order to integrate climate into your job, you might bump up against some hurdles around, you know, what you're supposed to be working on. You might need permission from a supervisor or a manager to maybe change the way that you do something. So there's some guidance in those guides to help people kind of understand maybe those softer skills that you might need in order to kind of create change within a workplace setting. But I say all of that because those are probably our most popular resources when it comes to employee climate action. And we've seen some really cool examples of people using them. And one example that I wanted to highlight here is the company 3M. They're kind of like a big manufacturing company. Everyone uses, you know, their tape and their like, the things to like hang, you know, photos and stuff. But we worked with folks at 3M because they were really interested in taking the job function action guides and turning them essentially into 3M-specific versions. So we worked with a few folks who lead their employee like sustainability committee, kind of like a green employee resource group. And they were like, hey, we love these guides. We really want to essentially copy them, but make them very contextual and specific for 3M. So they created 5 guides, I believe, for like the 5 biggest departments within them. They came up with their own recommended actions, as well as kind of pulling from the actions that we talk about in the Project Drawdown guides. They really made them. So I mentioned in the Project Drawdown guides, there's some guidance around like, how do you go about taking action? In the 3M guides, they like take it even a step further. And they're like, these are the real people within 3M that you can reach out to help you, you know, take some type of action. So yeah, they do a really awesome job. I interviewed one of the people who led this. Her name is Laura. And if anyone's interested, the interview is online on the Project Drawdown website. And she goes into a lot more detail about kind of how she went about rounding up people from different departments to write these different guides. And she gives it just a lot of great insight into anyone who might be interested and creating their own guides for their companies or organizations, or just generally great guidance around just like, what is it like to be a climate change maker within the giant organization?
Yeah, I think that's a really cool example because it started from an employee resource group and not actually a sustainability initiative within 3M. So it kind of shows the power of collective action for employees from these big companies. And it also shows that I feel like a lot of times, even if these companies aren't necessarily leading on climate change, they can be persuaded to do so in some different kinds of ways. Mm-hmm. Kind of, you know, pivoting to the actual leadership though at these companies, I was also wondering if you had an example of how Project Drawdown worked directly with leadership. So I know that you work directly with employees, but also people who are kind of on the decision-making side in terms of sustainability at these organizations. So what kind of tools or research you used from Project Drawdown and the resources that you have to help work with these leaders at these companies?
Yeah, that's a great question. And like you mentioned, I think at Project Drawdown, we have a really interesting approach to engaging companies because I do very see it as a bottom up and a top down approach with hopefully us like something happening in the middle of those two. So I'm, you know, working more on the bottom up work, kind of engaging employees to be change makers. And then there's other people within our private sector engagement program who are working more with the top down piece, really engaging leadership, people who, you know, work on sustainability teams. So CSOs, sustainability managers, that type of role. And I think there's a few examples, but one example that I really wanted to talk about for this question was something that we did, gosh, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago now. Basically, when the Inflation Reduction Act was going through Congress and was still called the Build Back Better Act. So this was quite a while ago, but we did a lot of work kind of behind the scenes with our business partners to basically just show that the business community is supportive of climate action. So we eventually ended up taking out a full page ad in the New York Times with a bunch of company logos that basically said, you know, like we call on, or, you know, we support federal climate action. Essentially, we had to keep the language pretty vague for, you know, like, you know, we're a nonprofit, so obviously we're not a political right. entity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was really cool to see like all of these different companies on like in print on the New York Times, like calling for climate action. And it was really powerful. But as I mentioned, we did a lot of like behind the scenes work to really get people to agree to put their logos on this message. And we had like a pretty extensive business network. And I think you kind of asked like, how did we go about it? Like what kind of tools or research we used?
Yeah. How did you convince these leaders?
Yeah, I think as a first step, we organized all of our contacts into like 3 buckets. So there were the organizations that we knew were like very likely to sign on. So these were people who, if you look at their, you know, their track record, they're probably already advocating for climate policy advocacy. So as an example there, those are like, you know, the Patagonias of the world, Ben and Jerry's, Seventh Generation. These are all companies that are already very, very active on climate, but also just advocacy in general. And then the next bucket was like the maybes. Maybe these folks were people who are still really ambitious in their climate action, but maybe don't do a lot of political advocacy, or maybe we have like pretty good relationships with them and we think that we could get them to sign on. And then the last bucket is like, these are the reach companies, probably not going to sign on, but it doesn't hurt to ask. And all of that, again, is just kind of based on our experiences working with these companies and kind of understanding their past advocacy efforts.
That makes sense. So in your line of work, you still feel like it's valuable to reach out to people or companies that haven't, you know, necessarily expressed interest in the past? Or do you try, you know, generally to limit it to companies you know will be available and wanting to work with you? Or does it kind of depend on what it is that you're actually doing?
Yeah, I think it depends on what it is we're actually doing. I think for a situation like with the Inflation Reduction Act, because it was such like a potentially historic moment for climate legislation in the US, we were going to reach out even to folks who we think would say no. And I do remember there's a lot of, you know, pushing and maybe you might feel annoying, but I think persistence is like a really important skill to learn in any type of climate action or advocacy. And yeah, but again, I think it depends on what it is.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm curious about how, in your experience, so Project Drawdown, as we kind of talked about, has a lot of nature-based solutions, a lot of different types of solutions, but what have been the most challenging aspects in simplifying and communicating these kinds of solutions to various stakeholders or people that work at these companies or just people in general that you're trying to convince to, you know, actually implement them?
Yeah, I think this is a really good question. And I think, yeah, I mean, there's lots of challenges, but one of them I think is because there are so many solutions and there's so many ways to implement solutions, we're trying to reach so many different stakeholders. So we have a lot of different audiences. And it's, you know, obviously always a challenge trying to figure out how to communicate to those different people. Another thing I think is, you know, as I mentioned, we have a lot of solutions and we have a lot of ways to implement those solutions. But I think the ways to implement solutions is something that people often overlook. I think it's really easy to hear the term climate solutions and think of something like renewable energy or like restoring forests. You know, it's really easy to think of the what, but I think people often forget the how, and the how is what is really difficult to communicate. So I think there's a lot of difficulty around like communicating. The accelerators is some, like one thing that we call them at Project Drawdown, like how do we scale solutions? So like just to give an example of that, you know, if you are someone who works in an office and, you know, one major solution obviously is like distributed solar, right? But if you're a worker, an employee in an office, like how is your job really connected to installing solar panels? Like it's not. But you could be an internal advocate at your company to convince your leadership to maybe get their office building to run on renewable energy. So it's kind of just a matter of like thinking about your connection to a solution. Just to give another example, again, going back to the renewable energy or their solar panel example, like you can ask leadership to install solar panels. You can work with your HR department to see if they might give stipends to employees to switch to renewable energy in their own homes. Obviously, there's a lot that you can do outside of work too. Like you can write letters to your representatives expressing how much you care about renewable energy. Let them know that renewable energy is something that their community really wants and needs. And so again, those like how, those accelerators, I think are very difficult to communicate. I think especially in my work with employees, it's mostly about the how as opposed to the what. And yeah, I think that's just something that we're getting better at communicating, but there's still barriers to that. I think another difficulty in communicating about climate and climate solutions is that there are just so many nuances when it comes to climate change, climate solutions, climate action. And I personally think it's incredibly important to communicate those nuances. But obviously, as you can imagine, especially in this world that I'm also totally of not a victim of, but I definitely fall to this, like, I just want to read something that's going to take me, you know, 10 seconds to read. And obviously you can't capture a lot of nuance in a 10 second video clip, but I do think it's really important to communicate those nuances. And a Drawdown, you know, we're really focused on this idea of implementing the most effective solutions kind of based on these different factors like geography, time scale, you know, what benefits will these solutions bring to people and to our communities. And so, you know, different solutions are going to be really effective for different scenarios, like scaling renewable energy in California, where there's already a lot of renewable energy, isn't going to be as effective as scaling renewable energy in a place like Kentucky that might still heavily rely on coal power. So it's those types of nuances that I think are hard to really relay to the public. I think sometimes we like very simplified messages around climate solutions, like just plant trees or like just recycle, or like you mentioned technology earlier, like, wow, isn't carbon capture like so cool? But, you know, unfortunately, these are sometimes not the most effective solutions. And so, yeah, I just think it's important to like show the nuance in order to implement the most effective solutions, especially because we're on a bit of a time crunch.
Yeah, I really resonate with a lot of what you said. I think that that's a general theme everywhere. Like even when you look at the ways that energy is being produced in a lot of different places, you can kind of see the breakdown of how it's produced by very different means of production, like even just within the United States. So you can kind of understand how it
would have a really big impact to change the energy production mechanism in one part of the country, but not the other. Basically exactly what you're saying. So yeah, I think these place-based solutions and kind of the how, I think, is something that Project Drawdown really excels at. And also for people listening, checking out their website and also the book, I feel like gives a good outline of like so many different ways that you haven't even thought of to decarbonize or implement climate solutions, depending on where you live and kind of the situation that you're in. And I think that also applies to different companies. Like there's probably different solutions that you've seen that work better with certain types of companies. Maybe if they have more actual real estate that they operate versus if they are, you know, maybe a hospital, they need to have energy all the time. So I can see how there might be different needs depending on what kind of business you are and the type of stakeholder that you are. Thinking about Project Drawdown's just general efficacy and kind of the how they do everything and how you're making such a big impact, I'm curious how you increase Project Drawdown's awareness and influence so that various stakeholders know about your resources.
Yeah, I think, you know, as I mentioned before, we kind of have three pillars of work. And so, yeah, we touch on a lot of different audiences and we're trying to reach a lot of different people, which is really great. I think our work is really scaled because of that. But we are like a fairly small team. And so I think we definitely rely on partners to help spread our work and help spread our influence. So to give an example there, in my work, I mentioned those job function action guides earlier. We actually recently partnered with an organization in Quebec and they translated all of our action guides into French. So that's something that obviously, yeah, it's really cool. It's really exciting to see them in another language. That's usually something that like we don't have resources to do. So to have other partners who just come out and say, hey, like we want to use these in our like French speaking places, can we translate them? And I'm like, of course, please translate them. So yeah, definitely rely on partners to scale our work and kind of get the word out there. I think another way that we kind of increase our influence and awareness of our work is, I mean, our comms team is just really effective and I'll give them a major shout out. They also really encourage everyone on the Project Drawdown staff to kind of be thought leaders and like have our own voice, especially on social media, especially on LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn is like our most major social media platform, which is funny. I feel like LinkedIn's like kind of becoming Twitter.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense. You work with a lot of corporate stakeholders.
Yeah, yeah, it makes total sense. So yeah, our comms team like definitely encourages us to have a voice on LinkedIn, on social media. And yeah, and again, I don't like to use the term thought leader, but they do encourage us, you know, to kind of like write articles, write blogs, write, you know, just get our name out there and get our thoughts out there just to kind of like boost the awareness of Project Drawdown and boost Project Drawdown as like a thought leader in the climate space. And I think the last thing I'll say is that we do kind of going back to our partners, we do work to showcase the people that we work with and kind of tap into the networks of our partners. And so we definitely like to showcase people who are doing really good work in the climate space, kind of using our platform. And so, you know, as I mentioned before, we have a great team of scientists, but we're still not experts in everything related to climate. And so we often partner with experts in specific areas and help them get their work out there with their own audience. An example I'll give there is in our private sector engagement work, we recently partnered with an organization called ReFed that is an expert in food waste. And we developed like a multi-part webinar series with them specifically for our private sector audience. But also, you know, we obviously pulled a lot from their network as well. So I think in the work that we do with our partners, we do try to also kind of amplify the deep experts in other solution spaces.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's a good collaboration, I think, especially when they have such interesting work that can probably be impactful outside of the circle that they operate. I know in academia too, sometimes it's difficult to kind of get those thoughts and ideas to the places where they'll have the most impact. So it's great that Project Drawdown can be kind of a lever in that space. What's your recommendation to listeners who are interested in making their job into a climate job?
Yeah, the first thing I'll say is that I just want to reiterate again that every job really is a climate job, and you really do not need to be working at a climate-focused company or in a sustainability role to take climate action through your profession. And in fact, I would even argue that like this path of integrating climate into what you're already doing might even be more impactful, because if you're a non-sustainability employee integrating sustainability into your day job, you are scaling climate action across your organization and you're starting to embed it into just how your organization does things. And so I think employees in general just have a lot of power to affect change, especially when it comes to climate. And there's so many ways that you might touch on climate that you might not have thought about before. Like I mentioned earlier, like really thinking about the how and just getting creative of around how you can implement and advocate for climate within your job and your organization. So yeah, some recommendations I would give to listeners on how to actually do that. There's kind of like four like big buckets of steps that I would mention. I think the first one is to like take stock of your company's sustainability efforts. I think it's really, really important to have a solid understanding of what your organization is already doing, if they're doing anything, because that way it gives you a good like framework to work within and kind of gives you the language of what your company is already using when it comes to climate and sustainability. So first step is just understand what your company is doing on climate. And then that gives you a good kind of some boundaries to kind of work within. And you can also say, hey, I have this idea and it directly ladders to like this public climate goal that we have. And the second step is to like find an opportunity. So what do you want to change? What do you want to do? I think finding that idea can be hard, but you know, really thinking about kind of like who do you interact with on a daily basis, whether that be your own colleagues or clients or customers or suppliers or other partners that you work with, who's your audience, who are you trying to reach? Kind of getting a sense of like who are you impacting through your work is a really good way to see who you might be able to influence. Thinking about how your work might affect, you know, energy consumption, waste, just kind of thinking about all of the different ways that your job might impact climate. So yeah, finding an opportunity that you are also excited about. I think ultimately taking climate action in the workplace, I think I mentioned earlier, you're probably going to be asking for some type of change and you might be having to interface with your manager or leadership to make this happen. So having an idea that you're like excited to implement, I think is really important. And mentioning, you know, leadership, the next step is really to identify decision makers. Once you have an idea, super, super important to identify who is the person that like needs to say yes to your idea. Also identifying other people that need to be on board. So maybe your head of HR is the person that you need to say yes to your idea, but who else can back you up and convince your decision maker to say yes? And then the last thing I would mention, which is probably the most important piece, is just like finding other like-minded colleagues within your organization. If there's a green team at your company, 1000% join it right now. If there isn't a green team, maybe even consider starting one. Maybe that's your climate action, is to start a green team. So yeah, just find other like climate passionate colleagues around you to help you, because ultimately, like I said, for any type of change, you're going to need like a big broad base of support. So I think finding like-minded colleagues is probably the most important recommendation.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I just want to kind of finish out with a question that is related to that and also, you know, about Project Drawdown more specifically too. So it seems like a lot of companies are kind of moving away from actionable sustainability efforts. They might not want to say outright that they want to be a more sustainable company, or they might not want to say these things as publicly. So I'm curious, keeping that in mind, do you have any other recommendations for individuals who might be feeling that way at a company if the language internally is changing? And kind of wrapped up in that also, what is next for Project Drawdown as the nonprofit continues to evolve?
Yes, I love this question. I think, and maybe this is wishful thinking, but I do think a lot of companies will probably continue with their sustainability efforts in this new era that we are in. I think they will continue with their efforts, but not be talking about it publicly, which is obviously a shame. And I think there's a term for it called green hushing, where like companies are doing kind of work behind the scenes and not really publicizing it. So I would say for anyone who feels like their company is either rolling back on climate action or just isn't talking about it publicly, I would get really good at speaking the business case and really learning the language that your leadership operates within. Obviously, usually that is a profit motive, which I think to a lot of people can feel gross to kind of like put a profit motive to climate action. But I do think in a business context, it is like the most effective way to get climate action moving within a company, especially like a big corporation. So yeah, I would get really familiar with the way that the business language of your company, and also look for other initiatives that your company might be doing. So like one example is maybe your company has asked, and this is a real example I've heard from an employee at a tech company, you know, they're asking all of their employees to figure out, hey, how can we increase our efficiency? And this employee was really smart. And they're like, actually, there's a lot of ways to bring in climate into those asks, because if you do things more efficiently, you can actually, you know, save energy. So finding things that your company is asking you to do already and bringing in climate into that, but without actually saying the word climate, I think is really smart. And I think, yeah, I think just moving forward, we'll all have to be a little bit like sneakier, to be honest, in terms of how we bring in climate into the conversation.
Yeah.
And to your other question about like what's next for Project Drawdown, I'm really excited that we are basically like revamping our climate solutions library. So I mentioned earlier, we're kind of most well known for our climate solutions, but like I said, climate solutions are very nuanced. And so we're launching this new platform called the Drawdown Explorer. I believe this June is the targeted date, but it's basically going to be our climate solutions library, but like way better. And right now, all of our solutions data is based on global numbers, and our scientists are working super, super hard to update all of that. So you can start to look at climate solutions in a more place-based context, in a more regional context. So it's going to be more interactive. It's going to have a lot more information, again, more contextual information, and a lot more information around like how different stakeholders can push forward a solution. So very, very excited about that.
That sounds super cool. I'm excited to try it out. And I feel like that will also be a good tool for people who are trying to drive climate action at their jobs or employers to kind of see what would be better in the specific area that they live in. So that's super awesome. Great. Well, is there anything else you want to add that you feel like it didn't cover?
No, I don't think so. Actually, one thing I will say that I will mention is that another thing that we're working on is creating an employee training. So I mentioned these job function action guides a few times. We've been working to package all of that into like a 3-part workshop that will be available to the public. That's helping people brainstorm how to come up with their own climate actions for their roles, and then picking one of them and developing an action plan. So a lot of the things that I just talked about will be in this workshop that hopefully will be formally launched to the public in late spring.
Cool. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for talking about Project Drawdown and about yourself. I think it's super interesting to hear about an organization that is really trying to drive impact on a big scale. And I think that's exactly what you're doing. So thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me.